since the last time we spoke, Murray State has played two games. They're 1-1. They lost a heartbreaker to Jacksonville State, and then rather handily defeated a ranked team in Tennessee State. Does this two-game stretch kind of sum up the season for the Racers?
Probably does. They have, I don't know that you'd call it underachieved, but they're just a play or two away in those losses, and in virtually every one of them. They lose to Martin by a touchdown, go overtime, lose to Eastern Illinois, and then Jacksonville State, they lose by three. And had the ball in the final minute with a chance to either get a field goal and tie it, get a touchdown and win it. It seems to be typical whenever they play Jacksonville State that it comes down to the final minute. It's just one of those teams that seems to have the Racers' number year in and year out. The last time that the Racers beat them, in fact, the only time they beat them was when Stuart Childress was a senior quarterback. So that's been a few years back. Now, on the other side of that, the Racers have Tennessee State's number as well. They have beaten them three straight years in Murray through a scheduling quirk. All the three have been played in Murray, but now have won four straight, and they just seem to be one of those teams that that plays very, very well. TSU game didn't start well. The Racers were driving the ball down the field, threw a pick immediately when they tried a little bit of razzle-dazzle with a halfback option. But they recovered from that, and as you said, dominated late in the ball game and picked up a victory over 18th-ranked teams. It was pretty neat.
4-5 on the season. Looks like only two games left on their schedule. On the 17th, we play Southeast Missouri, and coming up this week is Eastern Kentucky, yet another ranked team.
Yeah, that's a rival team, and there's another one that has had the Racers' number. They've won 10 of the last 11. The last victory in Richmond was when Joe Panunzio was coach back in 2002. That's when the Racers shared a co-championship and went on to the FCS playoffs where they lost at Western Kentucky. So that's how long it's been since the Racers have been able to pick up a win against the Colonels in Richmond. But this team's playing with a lot of confidence right now. They came close to beating EKU at home last year, missed an extra point that pretty much sealed their fate. But EKU, I think they're a team that's really underachieved this year. They have a great defense, fantastic running back in Matt Denham, TJ Pryor, the quarterback. They have another kid that's kind of been sharing the duties over the last week or two, but defensively is where they make it. They have an All-American, Brooklyn Fox, who's one of the national leaders in interceptions with six. And the Racers, they have their work cut out for them. But EKU has their work cut out, too, because the Racers are averaging 40 points a game during the season, and even more than that in OVC play. This ought to be a fun contest, and I guarantee you it's going to go down to the final minute.
Does this high-octane offense leave with Casey Brockman, or is this in place now?
I believe it'll still be in place, and I think it's just a good system. KD Humphreys is the heir apparent, unless, of course, you know, someone else comes up in the summer. But he's a freshman, a true freshman. He's played a little bit this year, so he's not going to be a red shirt. He'll come in with a little bit of experience. Now, they'll simplify things, and it's nothing to do with an intelligence factor. It's an experience factor. Once KD gets experience, or whoever the starting quarterback is, they can add more to it. So, and I really like what I see in him. He adds a few things that Casey doesn't have, but the Racers will really lack experience, good decision-making skills from Casey Brockman. So there might be a bit of a learning curve, but they'll have Jamal Berry back. They have Dwayne Brady back. So both their top running backs are back next year. The defense, if they can improve on that somewhat for next season, I think once again they'll be poised to challenge for a championship. I mean, I feel really good about the team, and the recruiting that Coach Hatcher has done I think has really helped. There's a lot of freshmen and young players playing key roles this year for Murray State.
Let's turn over now to Racer basketball. They've played Freed Hardeman. They won that game by 13. What did you see out of the Racers in that game that maybe surprised you a bit?
I think probably Jeffrey Moss coming off the bench and just knocking down shots. To do that in your first game, and when the rest sort of looked like freshmen all night long. You know, Eric McCree, who had looked good in practice, if people saw that game, they'd think, well, I don't know what he's going to bring, if anything. He's a good player. He'll be fine. But for the most part, the freshmen played like freshmen. But Moss looked pretty good. That jumped out at me. Fortunately, the other thing that jumped out on me is when Coach Prohm went to the bench, the first player to bring off the bench as a freshman, so it was the second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth. There's not a team in the country that I think can probably lay claim to that that's supposed to be any good. And the Racers, I think, will be very good, but there's going to be a bit of a learning curve. I think it's a team that really could possibly take some lumps early on until the bench develops. And they've just been thrown an unexpected curve. The three starters, that happens in college basketball. But when they left last March, they didn't expect that they would be without Latrez Muschat, didn't expect that they would be without Zay Jackson, but that's the situation they're in. And they're just going to have to adjust to that. I think it might take a little while. Still feel good about what this team's going to be able to do.
On the 15th, we play Auburn. We're in Charleston, South Carolina, in the Charleston Classic. If you beat Auburn, you're looking at possibly St. John's and then maybe Baylor, Boston College, or Colorado in the title game. Is it safe to say that we're going to know a lot about the Racers at the end of that tournament?
Well, I know Coach Prohm, he'll hit me over the head if I didn't mention that they do play Brescia tonight because he's a one-game-at-a-time guy. However, the Racers are heavily favored, but they do have the head coach used to be our video coordinator last year at Murray State, and Josh Gibson. So he'll know the Racers. I'm just not sure that he's going to do much about it. But, yeah, as you said, it's at Charleston. They have Auburn first off, Frankie Sullivan, a really good player, Tony Barbee, I think. I don't know if they're ready to turn the corner into an SEC contender, but they have a chance at a winning record this year. If the Racers can survive that, St. John's is going to be good, but they're going to be probably playing on College of Charleston's home court. Amir Abdur-Rahim, a former Racer assistant, he's now an assistant there. That's going to be a tough matchup no matter who the Racers would get. And if they're fortunate enough to get into the championship on Sunday, you would figure Baylor would be the favorite team. They have Pierre Jackson. If it does happen to be Murray State against Baylor, you get two of the top five point guards in the nation in Isaiah Cannon and Pierre Jackson. And the folks at ESPN, probably if they had their druthers, they wouldn't mind that kind of a matchup. I'm just not sure the Racers are equipped from a depth standpoint to make that happen.
Racer basketball kicks off tonight at 7:30 at the CFSB Center against Brescia, and the Racers are heavily favored in that game. Thank you very much, Neil Bradley, for dropping by the show today.
Glad to be here.